Yankees, former reporter for the Kenosha News, and a former chief of staff for the Kenosha County Executive. Community Matters shares its time slot with the WGTD Radio Theater. And now, here's today's program.
Good morning. For Community Matters, this is Lenny Quinta, and today we have a forum debate between the candidates in Kenosha County for the position of sheriff. I welcome to the program today candidates James Simmons and David Zerner. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
I want to note for everyone that this program is being pre-recorded on October 11th. Each candidate will make an opening statement of 1 minute. Their order of speaking has been determined by a coin toss just made. They will close with closing statements in the inverse order, and in between, I will ask them questions, and they will be given 2 minutes to answer each question. We'll begin by the winner of the coin toss. Deputy Zerner will make his opening statement. Deputy Zerner.
Morning, Lane. My name is Sergeant Zerner. I'm a Kenosha resident. I've been a resident in Kenosha County my entire life. I was born and raised here and educated here. I've served on the Kenosha County Sheriff's Department for almost 24 years. I've been a supervisor over a decade. I've worked in and supervised in every division in the Sheriff's Office. I have been trained heavily in supervision and command. I'm an assistant commander on the drone unit. I'm an assistant commander on the negotiations unit. I'm a first shift supervisor in patrol operations. I'm very active in the local scene. I'm on the board of directors for Women and Children's Horizons. It's a domestic abuse shelter here locally. Some of you may or may not be aware of it. Been with that agency for almost 20 years. I worked as hard as I can up to this moment to prepare myself for every leadership role I've had and choose to advance to. I appreciate the opportunity here, Len. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And now I will turn to your opponent, the Democratic candidate, Mr. James Simmons.
Well, thank you, Lynn. I am also in law enforcement, but I work at Lake County Sheriff's Office for over 17 years. I've been involved with multiple divisions I'm an Army veteran as well, from corrections all the way to investigations, adult and juvenile, while in corrections and in investigations, especially investigations. I was basically put to the task of tobacco enforcement for the entire county, which I supervised over multiple detectives when we did sting operations and had a large budget. So in that supervisory role, that was something that I did was spectacular for the entire county. And the things that I want to bring about here is a lot of change. And from that, you know, from adult, juvenile detective, warrants, I have all the knowledge that I need to make sure that Kenosha is moving in the right directions, because right now, I believe Kenosha County is playing catch up to the rest of the state and the rest of the world. And we need to be able to catch up. And that's why having someone that has innovative ideas and experience.
Thank you.
To bring. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Now, I'd like you to I'd like to ask each of you to clarify a little bit more about your credentials and your candidacy. First of all, let me go back to our Republican candidate for sheriff, David Zerner. Deputy Zerner, would you clarify and distinguish between your credentials and those of your opponent in terms of what makes your credentials more appropriate in your view?
You refer to me as deputy, and I'm a sergeant, and you did that a long time ago as well. That's just the way you say it. But like I said, I've been a supervisor in the sheriff's office, I think maybe 11 years at least, maybe 12 years. Having that supervisor experience is crucial. I've supervised in extremely high-paced situations. You know, when I was supervising detentions, I monitored and I facilitated the transport of inmates and prisoners all over the and detainees, federal detainees, all over the region and the country. So we would have 25 to 30 people working at a time. And I would be the sole supervisor responsible for all that action, all that responsibility. Working with the federal contractors is very busy. So I heard my opponent say that he supervised detectives. It's my understanding he's never been a supervisor. So if he was the lead detective, that's one thing, but he's not a supervisor. And the tobacco unit, that is very important work. But, you know, I've been on the opioid task force for a decade, or as long as it's been around, maybe 2017. So we have been working very diligently with the community, all the committees, as well as in my operations in the sheriff's office, to mitigate the drug trafficking here. And my opponent said that we're playing catch up. Commercial Sheriff's Office is a premier organization. It's a premier entity in the state, and we're the third largest sheriff's office the entire state. So I don't know how we're playing catch up. We're innovative. We facilitate trainings all over the state. So I take exception to what he says. I think that our agency is fantastic and does amazing work. We're only playing catch up right now in situations because of COVID and the unrest that we faced. So I look forward to repeating a little bit more of this in my continuing comments.
Thank you. Mr. Simmons, what distinguishes you in terms of your background and credentials and qualifications that makes you special and one that we should vote for?
One, I bring a lot of different cultures and understanding of diversity to the playing field. And one meaning that when he was talking about supervisory role, either lead detective or whatever your title may be, when you supervise, you are essentially is a supervisor for that situation. When you go to homicide scenes, you take control of the scene. You basically tell all the deputies and other detectives what to do. So it doesn't matter what the title is with regard to what you do and your responsibilities. Now, when I say that Illinois is more robust than Wisconsin, it is, because it showed in 2020 with regards to the civil unrest, which I did speak with the current chair prior to in 2019, with regards to what I believe he can do to make it better if something does occur. However, that didn't happen and you saw what took place. So saying that they're on top and, you know, I never disrespected by saying that they're not equivalent. I'm just saying that I can bring a different point because in Illinois, we're humping all day long. There's no stretch of farmlands or nothing. This is a call to call to call. And these things are important because it brings out the best in the officer. And one is the main purpose is you got to make sure that you be able to listen. God gave us two ears and one mouth. We need to listen to the people more than what we speak. And I don't think we're seeing that in the candidate that we have now, because I do not want to be a career candidate. I want to be a candidate that actually starts this candidacy and win this candidacy and for all the people and not for a political affiliation. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Now, I'm going to try to alternate in asking the questions as best as I can remember. If I make a mistake, you can call me out. I appreciate that. Mr. Simmons, in your campaign literature, you say, quote, "I've seen the problems caused by the lack of police and community engagement. I know that positive engagement between citizens and law enforcement is the key to success and rebuilding trust," close quote. Would you please elaborate on that and tell us what precisely you mean?
What I mean is that right now it's the scenario is versus like law enforcement versus the community. And that was before even 2020 even occurred. We have both sides that don't want to sit at the table mainly and want to talk about the hard questions, because one is the lack of diversity in hiring. People believe that they don't have an opportunity to be a part of the police force. And that's a travesty at that moment. As sheriff, I want to make sure that I want to build that table. I want to be able to be invite constitutionists, also as activists at the table. Let's build a blueprint on how we can make the county better than 2020 and so forth. Because the president has a war cabinet. He has advisors. Why can't groups be the same thing to the sheriff? Because I can't fix your pothole, but I can make sure that the communication between law enforcement and community is paramount with regards to us being as one. Because I know for sure, with my uniform on or off, I am part of the community. And the difference between me and anyone else, I know how to hang up the uniform and be a part of the community.
Thank you. Now, Mr. Zerner, in your campaign literature, under the heading Fighting for Kenosha County, you say liberal leadership failed Kenosha during the 2020 riots. And continuing your direct quotation, poor communication and lack of implementation of emergency resources was nothing short of shameful. I'm going to ask you what you mean by that. You talk about liberal leadership failing Kenosha. Well, the previous and current sheriff is Republican, as I recall. So I don't think you're calling him a liberal. So I wonder if you would expand and explain upon that statement so we can fully understand what your point is.
Absolutely. I'm not on this Zoom to call anybody any names. I was there firsthand. I supervised through the entire thing every day. And if you recall, Len, the day of the shooting, our liberal Democrat governor and Mandela Barnes and Governor Evers both put out written statements attacking us for what we did that day. Those officers responding to a armed felon, it was a call for service that could have happened to any officer at any time. And they ignored our request for help. And I know that you just called our sheriff a Republican, but the reality is that he's made statements to the contrary, saying that the governor gave us everything we needed. That's far from the case. So our county board had to work through the night trying to get help from the National Guard. And those calls went all the way. Congressman Brian Stile made calls to the president himself to get us help that we needed. So I did take exception with that because I was there firsthand every single day, watch what was going on.
Thank you. I wonder if we could ask you each to pose a very brief question to your opponent. And I'll begin with Mr. Zerner. Mr. Zerner, you have a brief question that you would like to have Mr. Simmons answer?
Sure. I'll put it in one part. You say that you didn't make any comments negative about us, but deputies keep coming to my desk saying that you've called us a travesty. So in regards to, you say that we saw what happened because Sheriff Beth didn't do what you said in 2020. Would you elaborate on that? What do you mean by that? What is it that you said that would have prevented the riots of 2020?
Well, it was actually in 2019.
Okay.
What we talked about was body cameras. He did not want to do those. And I told him that this way it holds the county and the people, as far as sheriffs, deputies, whoever, and the community accountable. I asked him for basically what are we doing to prepare our law enforcement with regards to civil unrest that are already occurring in Chicago, Baltimore, you know, all these places that are going up in flames. What are we doing? He told me that it won't happen here. And I told him, I said, well, we have Chicago and we have Milwaukee. We're in the middle. Crime don't walk. It travels in cars and so forth. I told him, I said, we need to be able to talk to the constitutionalists who don't want the city to burn. And we want to talk to the activists that want to get their word and their message out, hopefully without burning. I said, we need to be able to implant undercover agents within their groups so we can find out their itinerary, their groups, their members. And so when we have something like that, when outside entities come, we can be prepared for them. We can pounce on them before they actually throw something into a window to start a fire. And during that time when it did occur, I was not at home. I was out there in the streets in Illinois, stopping and shutting down gas stations to prevent Molly cocktails to be made out of the gasoline that they may obtain. So, and I was without power for over 18 hours because I live in the Lincoln Park area. So I suffered greatly and I understood the situations with regards to what y'all had to deal with that we had to deal with. And I told a lot of people during this campaign, if I could help, I would, but because of jurisdictional boundaries, we wasn't able to. But the main issue is we're all in this together. And I support as much as I could being out there 20 hours, et cetera, et cetera. So when I say it's a travesty, it's because not the sheriff, deputy, or the police at all, meaning that one individual that did not want to listen. That's what I told you before.
Thank you.
2 years.
Thank you. Mr. Simmons, I'm going to ask you to return the favor and pose a brief question to Mr. Zerner.
Well, Mr. Zerner, you know, you take photographs with a rifle in your arm. Are you planning on arming the citizens to make the Kenosha County safer again?
I would like to point out, Mr. Simmons, that you yourself took a photograph in the gun store with your new AR-15. And only after your left people got upset with you on Facebook, you deleted that. So no, I don't plan on arming the citizens in the street. What a ridiculous statement. If you read everything I wrote, I'm all for legal gun ownership. I'm a certified firearms instructor in the state. I teach the candidates in the police academy, and I'm a Marine also. So I am absolutely for the Second Amendment 100%. And I don't change my story as you have, sir.
All right. I'm going to ask each of you now to take up to 2 minutes to respond to what your opponent has just said. And I will go back to Mr. Zerner to respond to what we just heard from Mr. Simmons. Okay.
In reference to which part? Everything you said up to this point or?
Anything you want.
Well, I don't appreciate him referring to the sheriff's office as a travesty, which he has done. And he's made statements that we're all in this together, yet he's been very divisive in his comments about me. And it, up until this moment, I've been nothing but a gentleman to you every time I've seen you in public, shaking your hand, greeted you and your wife. 5 minutes later, I'd be told by the sheriff's office personnel that you're bad-mouthing me behind my back. And they are my coworkers, my peer group, and my friends. So not only do you look disrespectful to them, I didn't appreciate it. That's okay. I'm a big boy. I can handle it. When you say that Illinois is more robust by population, absolutely. By crime, absolutely. By murder, absolutely. So what I'd like to know, since Illinois is so robust and you have such great experience working as a law enforcement officer in Illinois, why are you pursuing becoming the sheriff in Kenosha? In this state, why aren't you trying to advance your career where you have built your law enforcement career?
Thank you. I'm going to extend the same courtesy to Mr. Simmons to respond to Mr. Zerner's comments that have been made so far. Mr. Simmons.
Yes, once. Okay. With regards to that posting being up, it's still up. It never was deleted. So that's a lie. It's me being in front. And that post basically states on qualified and responsible people coming out and actually obtaining concealed carry and weapons that's going to be for any kind of sport or what have you. There was none divisive. And number two is what the reason why I'm not running for Lake County Sheriff is a simple fact because I did apply early 2000 for Kenosha Police Department and was not given an opportunity. So and Lake County called me, and I've been living here since 2008, born and raised in Racine, Wisconsin. I am qualified as the cheesehead for life. Thank you, sir. So at the end of the day, I take offense of you saying that I'm talking about the entire populace of the Kenosha Sheriff Department, which I'm not. I was talking about one individual. So at the end of the day, I'm here to provide what the knowledge that I obtained, and I'm willing to give opportunities for people that did not have it. But when you talk about yourself, I don't need to bounce around for different political affiliations to get my point across. If you pour my ideology in a glass, it's clear. Yours may be cloudy because you're from one spectrum to the other, like a windshield wiper. And the people don't deserve that. They need somebody that's concise and that's going to be to the point and fair for everyone. Thank you.
Thank you. Now, I'd like to change the subject a little bit. As you both know, the county is about to undertake, with some independent advice, a study of the aftermath of the shooting of Mr. Blake and the uprising that followed. The county is also going to ask for a review of other extraordinary incidents in the past in terms of its preparedness for law enforcement and public safety. Well, that's all well and good, but what do you think? And I think we're up to us beginning with Mr. Simmons this time, I hope. Mr. Simmons, what should that county probe be sure to study? What are the top two or three strategic areas that that study ought to be focusing on?
Well, that focus need to be studied on gun control, one. Right now they have where they already passed. Anybody can carry a gun, basically, and, you know, government buildings, but not essential areas. Another one is they're not focusing on the ability to unite the people, because right now we know that the majority of the county board is, we say it's a nonpartisan position, but it's technically partisan. And the agenda which is pushed out is more divisional than anything. And we need to basically focus on getting the people back together, recovering from the riots, having to sit down. Let's talk about things that's going to be appropriate for everybody to have a say in, and not pushing one agenda, meaning basically arming the people. And that showed a lot of division right there, because 80% of this community basically does not want everybody to have guns on them, especially in the workplace. You know, I'm a big believer as well of the Second Amendment. That's why I'm an Army veteran. I continue to serve in law enforcement. I'm a big believer as well. So there's nothing that I can say that I would be against it. I just don't want any amendment of the Constitution inflated. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Same question for you, Mr. Zerner. What should that county probe be focusing on? What are the top, maybe two or three top strategic areas that they must not miss to do a good job?
Well, I don't know if my opponent actually answered the question. I don't know if he misunderstood it or not. Excuse me. That study is very expensive and it's very comprehensive, and it's going to take a very long time. I've actually been through some meetings about it. I'm pretty excited about it, actually. Like I discussed earlier, there's some real problems with the way that thing unfolded. So we need to have some very serious conversations. We need to increase our communication, improve them. And when I say that, I mean multi-jurisdictionally. So that's going to include training, multi-jurisdictional training. We do that now, but never to the extent that it's going to need to be done. There's already been several tabletop exercises. We've had mass shooting exercises. We've had several in the last couple of years because the aftermath, it was tremendous. And so we need to make sure that we're ready for it. And the next time it comes around, if it ever does, we're going to have ICS. We're actually has a new role right now for everybody to get our instant command system training going again, make sure that we're all up to speed on that. But the number one thing is going to be multi-jurisdictional training. We got to ensure that we're ready, and that we all know, everyone at the table knows how to declare an emergency, because that declaration of emergency statewide has to be made by very specific people. And once that's made, any one of those individuals that are allowed to do it can do it. So once that's done, once that training, and actually we've been working on it steadily. So we're going to have to get together at the table, and we're all going to have a seat, and we're going to come together. But in reference to the incident that took place, preparation for that is going to be number one, paramount. Thank you.
Thank you. Now, we're talking about firearms, so let's go a little deeper into it, since you guys have raised it. We know that the rules for the carrying of firearms in Kenosha County have been relaxed, and I won't go into describing them all. I think we all know what they are. What issues for law enforcement do the relaxed rules create, if any? Mr. Zerner.
Well, I was actually reading an email this morning from Clara Tappa. She's in charge of human resources for Kenosha County. And it's a concern for a lot of people, because now with the workplace, the ability to carry a firearm in a workplace concealed. So there's a lot of people who don't necessarily understand the statute, the way it's changed. So the reality is that more firearms around people who don't know anything about firearms, that's a problem. It can scare people, et cetera. But I don't subscribe to the mentality that more firearms cause more deaths. People that are untrained in firearms, that can be a problem. But the reality is that the lawful carrying of a firearm by someone who's trained to carry that firearm creates more safety. Thank you.
All right. Mr. Simmons.
Well, I believe carrying more firearms at work, and especially nowadays, is some form of intimidation, especially if you are a supervisor, which my opponent is. He would be afraid to probably counsel that individual, maybe terminate that individual based upon that person maybe having a gun on them. And if a situation does occur, if someone is have shot another employee or what have you, law enforcement has to come there and try to find out who's the offender and actually who's the victim. So if you're coming there and that individual has tunnel vision, the one that actually did the shooting, and he points that gun at us, that's going to be an issue. So that comes down to, we don't know as law enforcement, if we come to a crisis situation, we don't know who is foe or friend. So at the end of the day, we're going to get blamed. We're going to have to get the buck put on us. So with the county, as far as them passing that regulation, and that's going to be something that we're going to have to deal with law enforcement. Thank you.
All right. Well, let's go a little bit deeper into this issue because people are very, very interested in it. What should be the limit of what kind of firearms we should be allowed to carry? You know, things have advanced pretty far since the single loading musket in the last couple hundred years. Should there be a limit? Could I have a tactical nuclear device? Where does it stop? I'm going to ask Mr. Simmons to begin.
Well, it depends on the nature of what you want to use it for. A lot of people up arms because the AR-15 is a military style rifle, which can shoot multiple rounds. But then you also have regular rifles that you go out there and shoot for deers that has the same kind of magazines. So at the end of the day, I don't see that, you know, the type of weapon should be an issue. Because I believe in the Second Amendment, it's how we present it, you know, because a lot of people, you know, they basically think that they want to feel safe all around. And they think that the person next to them that is actually carrying is not going to be productive. It could be a part of the issue, because if a crisis situation does occur, you think that person is going to be more common than the police, more qualified, more skilled. So these issues are paramount when it comes to deciding what kind of weapons we want to carry, you know, because like I said, I'm for the Democrat, but I'm a moderate person. And like I said, I believe in the Second Amendment. So I don't want any guns taken from anyone, but I want people to use common sense while they own them as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Zerner, what kind of weapons are enough? Where should the line be drawn? What's enough for us to have a self-protection?
Well, I don't necessarily disagree with my opponent that depends what you're going to use them for. But the reality is that the laws are based on the type of firearm and then the type of license that you have to do it. We don't have to have a license to own a firearm in the United States. It's particular types. You know, you said nuclear device, ingest. I know you're kidding, but the reality is that a lot of people see AR-15s and they see them on the media and they are sensationalized and people think they're fully automatic weapons. And, you know, I've run other campaigns and people have asked me about, what about those murder guns? That's a term that a lady asked me and I said, ma'am, I don't know what you're talking about. Let's have that conversation. And we did, and we had a great conversation. And she had no idea that an AR-15 wasn't a fully automatic rifle. The reality is that an AR-15 is a semi-automatic rifle. Magazine fed, just like Mr. Simmons addressed at some hunting firearms exactly the same way, and I explained it to her. I think that, so people understand that an automatic weapon is a Class 3 weapon and has to have a special tag stamp from the federal government. It takes a very long time to get that. So all the investigations, all the background have been done prior to that, the possession happening. I don't think that... we can obtain legally firearms that are so excessive, they should be illegal. I really don't. I'm glad that we're able to have semi-automatic weapons. I'm glad there's not a registry. I'm glad we haven't succumbed to that. But semi-automatic firearms are all over this country. There's well over 300 million firearms in American homes. So I think that we need to embrace training. There are so many concealed carry classes happening all over the country, including this community. I teach concealed carry. And I'd like to tell you both that a very surprising demographic is that when I teach these classes, I teach at Gateway in the college, the demographic surprised me how many old women and older men attend these classes. I appreciate the opportunity to answer that question, Lynn. Thank you.
Thank you. One more question about the firearms issue, if you may. What's your answer? And I think we're back to beginning with Mr. Zerner. What's your answer to folks who are genuinely alarmed and intimidated by seeing open carry? And we have an election coming up, which you are more than aware of, and people are concerned about poll watchers carrying outside the polls. What's your answer to those folks, Mr. Zerner?
We actually have that question come up at work quite a bit. I understand that people would be intimidated by seeing open carry. Open carry is legal here in Wisconsin. I try to explain it to people. Individuals carry rifles, and I think a lot of times that gets done to get a rise out of people, but sometimes it gets done for the constitutionality of it. lot of people are hell-bent on showing their constitutional rights in action. I get that. So when people are legitimately alarmed by open carry, I'm sorry for that. It is the law if they're doing it legally. We respond to it all the time. Mr. Simmons is a police officer, I'm sure, he's heard these calls for service. We get them all the time, especially in Kenosha County. After our unrest, we became part of the national, the world spotlight. We had individuals standing by our gas pumps behind our building with an AR-15 strapped to their chest. And we'd go talk to them, and they're waiting with their video camera, waiting for the response. So a lot of times we have to be very cautious as to how we approach that. The reality is that legally protected behavior is legally protected behavior. So I spend a lot of my days in supervision talking to upset residents about a multitude of topics. That's one of them. So, and I take a long time with those conversations. I don't rush people off the phone because a lot of times civilian citizens don't feel like they're getting the attention they need when they're talking to a police officer. So I spend a lot of time talking.
Thank you. Mr. Simmons, what's your response to citizens with those concerns?
Well, the citizens with those concerns, that is a legislative decision. We have to, as law enforcement, we basically, we follow the law as far as the constitutional law of the state. My suggestion to people that is very upset and alarmed by poll workers or whoever that has open carry, we need to actually go to the polls. We need to vote with regards to, you know, our governors. We need to vote for, you know, lieutenant governor, whoever the individuals that make those laws. To, if we want them to change, the power to vote will be your voice. And that is the only thing that I can see as far as making a change with regards to us. Because like I said, I don't believe the sheriff has any authority or anything of that nature to impose his will. And the law is the law as we see it as today. But as far as I'm concerned, I think we need to actually, people that disagree with this law and open carry, what have you, you need to go to the polls and you need to elect your officials. And the ones that you have now, they're not doing the job, vote them out.
Thank you. Now, I know that you are both aware of the fact that there's all kinds of new money coming down from federal and state sources being re-granted to counties for law enforcement and public safety. And the community through the county board and the county executive are going to be making those decisions. All right, if you're going to be sheriff, what do you want? What do you want that money to be used for? Mr. Simmons.
My platform, I basically said I believe that we need to, the sheriff need to advocate for higher wages for all of his employees. The simple fact is that we know that employees are always using this as a stepping stone. Once they're hired, they need to go somewhere else. We need to be able to lock them in as far as starting, and they can retire, not be considered a number, but considered part of the family. And these things is the only way I can see this happening is by going to the county board, requesting more funds to be available to especially corrections as well, because we know that's a revolving door. Everything is a revolving door with now. And we need to be able to have a more enticing advertisement and let the people know if we can hire community-oriented people, because people talk bad about law enforcement. And I think that one of the ways to do that is be out there and branch out, talk to the people, tell them the only way to change law enforcement to better themselves is to be a part of the team. And by being a part of the team, every place that you go, every incident that you come about, be the best person and represent the sheriff's office the best way you can. I think that's where the money should go to. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Zerner, if you're sheriff, you will have a large megaphone to ask for help. What are you going to ask for?
I already have. I've been doing it loud and clear. What we do, Mr. Simmons is not completely incorrect, actually. We do need better wages, and we're getting them. Our association right now is ratifying a contract. From what I understand, it's going to be a very good raise. They're happy with it, what they've done. I don't know the exact specifics of it because I'm a supervisor. I'm not in that union anymore. I was president of it for a long time, and I was very involved in it. And a lot of times the guys want to talk to me about the negotiations, but that's just not appropriate. But the reality is they're getting a good contract right now. So some of the funds you're talking about, I think you might be discussing ARPA funds, some of the funds we're getting. The ARPA funds, the way they're breaking down, I've been to several county board meetings to talk about that. And the way we're able to spend it remains to be seen. So I've talked to the new county executive on multiple occasions, several county board supervisors about those funds. What we need is more FTEs, full-time employees at the sheriff's office. We're getting one with this new contract, one detective, one deputy. I was hoping for more like three of each, which I knew was a pipe dream, but nevertheless, I would like to use those funds to help a little bit of recruitment, but I would also like to use some of those funds to raise salaries in the jail specifically. That's where we're bleeding. That's where our most difficult thing is right now. We're down so many jailers that maintaining them, preventing them from leaving is difficult because they're so overworked. So what we're trying to do, we have a three-year schedule right now where we're trying to give stipends to them based on how many years of service they have. It's not in play yet, but it's coming. It's all, the details are pinned out. So hopefully we're going to be able to get that in action and give them a little bit of relief, guarantee their days off, things like that. Things that, that's not necessarily monetary, but some of the non-monetary things that make working a little bit easier. So try to get funds for full-time employees.
Thank you very much. At the end of the day, gentlemen, at the end of the day, when you hang up your uniform, you slip into your PJs, what keeps you up at night with respect to your concerns about public safety in Kenosha County, Mr. Zerner?
What keeps me up at night? Well, I've been part of this department for almost 24 years. I'm vested in all of it. I'm vested in all the divisions. I'm vested in every individual that works in the public safety building, and that's more than several agencies. I'm worried about us getting our units back to where they were, and I'm talking about the drug unit. It's huge. It's a very important thing. I've talked about it in every one of my campaigns. One of my number one things is the opioids. Keeps me up at night is that we're not going to have trained personnel. We are losing our senior experienced trained personnel because it's time to retire and things are difficult and the world's not getting more fun or safer. So they're leaving. God bless them for all their help and I appreciate them. But nevertheless, kudos to everybody that's here and been here. But it keeps me up at night that we are going to have a very young staff. We need to get people hired now before we have a mass exodus, which is coming in a couple of years. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Simmons, what keeps you up at night with respect to public safety in Kenosha County?
Well, to elaborate on my opponent saying, I think that we need more training. We need to, in my platform, I talked about scenario-based training that will, you know, be enhanced and cover every aspect of law enforcement, including mental health. This is where we have paid actors that will push law enforcement into crisis situations. And now we talk about where you have a two-year veteran that is learning on the go. And if he comes across, he or she comes across a crisis situation, 9 out of 10 times, it's a possibility that it may fail us because they never experienced those things. I think training is paramount. I think that with the scenario-based training, it's going to foster in a new way of thinking, preparedness. And I think that that would have happened prior to 2020, where law enforcement officers had been through that program. I think it would have sufficed very much so. And we could have seen the things that could have happened and probably prevent them with better education and knowledge. And that's what keeps me up at night, because I think that truly law enforcement is at a disadvantage when it comes to training. Thank you.
Thank you. I wonder if we, since we're peacekeeping is a big issue and you've referred to it several times, both of you, I think we're ready to begin with Mr. Simmons this time. What is your advice? What is your caution? What would you say to would-be citizen militias or solo would-be peacekeepers, both in normal times and in times of unrest? What's your message to those folks?
Like I said before, I would tell from militia to activists, you know, we need to be able to sit at the table. We need to be able to compromise, and we need to work together. We need to be building up the blueprint that's going to make this county better than it was before. Everybody has their own agenda. However, if we can find some common ground to work together, that is the main thing, the unity between all divisions and all groups that may, and we need to have positive thinkers within those organizations as well that can deter a lot of negative thinking and a lot of vigilantes on either side and all sides. So those are the things that I believe that need to be a part of people that think they can, you know, take matters into their own hand. You probably need to get some advice from someone else and be mentored. Thank you.
Thank you. Same question to you, Mr. Zerner. What would you say to would-be citizen militias or solo peacekeepers? What's your advice to them?
Solo peacekeepers. Well, what I we have many agencies in the county, in the municipalities all across the county, like the neighborhood watch programs and things of that nature. And then we have our public relations officers who also go out and meet with the public and things of that nature. When we have out in the town of Paris, we have the very rural area, and we have home invasions and home entries, things that have never happened before. So addressing this is a very touchy subject with our locals. So what I suggest, and what I've tried to do myself personally with that town, is to get out there and make contact with those folks and have them, let them know that you want to work with them as a law enforcement agency, that you're there for them, and try to set up parameters for them sharing information in real time, things of that nature. And presence is huge, because they feel militias and activists, you say solo activists, solo actors, what have you, they pop up like mushrooms because they don't feel like they're protected. So more presence, more interaction with them, more communication, and let them know that you're there for them, make them part of the team as far as training.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Well, we're getting toward the end here, so I'm going to ask you to take a moment to collect your thoughts and give us each an opening statement or closing statement, excuse me, of 1 minute. And we opened with Mr. Zerner, so we're going to open the closing statements with Mr. Simmons. Mr. Simmons, you're on.
All right. Everyone out there in Kenosha County, get out there and vote November 8th. Pick the best candidate, best qualified, and also understand the ideology that comes with that. You know, pick a person that is, the mission is clear for everyone, regardless of political affiliation. The main goal of the sheriff is basically to get out here and train his people. And, you know, it's not here to be friends or enemy. It's here to roll up your sleeves and do good police work. And that's what I'm here to do. I want to make sure that the Constitution and the law of this state applies to every single home without exception, because we say that we have the rural areas and whatever, but we need to vote from all types of people in all places in Kenosha County. So it's the first, the sheriff department concern is we need to make sure that we address the situation of everyone. Always. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Your closing statement, please.
Thank you,
Mr. Zerner.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Sergeant Zerner of the Sheriff's Office for 23 years. I've worked diligently every day of my career. I've worked very hard every single day. I'm involved in the community. I educate in this community. I actually teach in the police academy. I'm a certified scenario-based trainer. And every officer at that scene, sir, we're trained with scenario-based training. I am here to provide every bit of my energy, every bit of work the staff is trained to do. The command staff is in place. The supervisors are ready. We have an amazing crew. They support me. I'm endorsed by so many. I'm endorsed by the Kenosha County Deputy Sheriff Association, Congressman Style, County Executive Kirkman. I'm here to hit the ground running. Ladies and gentlemen, remember David Zerner for Sheriff on November 8th. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Listeners, the general election is November 8th, Tuesday, November 8th. There are multiple ways for you to cast your ballot, but everything has been changing. So I urge you to plan your vote. There are multiple ways you can plan your vote. The national news networks, the state of Wisconsin, even the political parties will be helpful to you in planning your vote. Make sure you know where to vote and know how to vote, because things have changed. So on November 8th, get out and vote, or vote by absentee early. That's what I'm going to do. For Community Matters, this is Len Iaquinta urging you to get informed, get involved, and for goodness sake, get out and vote. Good day.
You've been listening to Community Matters. All programs are archived at WGTD.org. Click shows. This is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva.
From the WGTD Arts and Other Events calendar.